Wish Tree, chapters 39 to 42. At long last, I stopped talking. Once the words had spilled out, it was like trying to stop the wind. In the silence that followed, I felt as if the whole world was holding its breath. I'd broken the rule. Stephen and Samir still stared open-mouthed at me. They looked as rooted to the ground as I was. Neither had uttered a sound while I told my story. The front door to Stephen's house opened. "Stephen," called his father, "what the heck are you doing, young man?" Stephen leapt to his feet.
Here I come, Dad.
Good night, Samir." "Good night, Stephen," she said. Stephen dashed towards the porch, but stopped halfway. He spun around and looked at me.
"Thanks,"
he said in a quizzical voice, using the same tone he might have used if Bongo had just made him pancakes. The door slammed behind him. Samir stood, holding her blanket to her chest. "I know I must be dreaming," she said. She headed to her own porch and eased open the door. "I just wish," she added with a smile, "I didn't have to wake up." Almost instantly, I regretted what I'd done. I'd broken the rule. The biggie. I'd deliberately spoken to people. And not just a few words, I'd spoken a river of words. I wasn't like the frog in the mailbox. I hadn't broken the rule accidentally. I'd broken the rule because I wanted something. I wanted to matter. I wanted to do something meaningful before I died. I'd done it for myself. After the shocked babies and their equally shocked parents were safely ensconced in their dens, I admitted my feelings to Bongo. I waited for her to yell at me. Bongo is good at yelling. Extremely good. You might even say she has a gift. "Why did I do it, Bongo?" I murmured. "Why?" She flew to home plate. She stroked my rough bark with her sleek head. "You did it, my wise old tree, because you had a story to tell." "It was foolish," I said. "I am not supposed to be foolish."
"Not so foolish," Bongo said. "Just hopeful. And everyone needs to hope. Red, even wise old trees."
Morning emerged slowly, heavy with clouds. A light rain had fallen just before dawn, soothing my leaves, if not my mood. Oddly, the ground felt saturated. Spring was always muddy, of course, but this was unusual. It would make for a messy wishing day tomorrow. An early rising old gentleman with a bamboo cane approached. He paused to attach a small piece of blue paper to my lowest branch using a bit of twine. He didn't say his wish out loud, so I couldn't tell what it was. But he had a satisfied smile as he stepped carefully through the soggy grass. I doubt I'd be seeing more wishes today. Many people came early to grab an easy-to-reach spot. This would probably be my last wishing day. How could it be that my first one, that long-ago day with Maeve, still seemed as fresh in my heart as my conversation with Stephen and Samir from the previous night? A car slowed to a crawl near the curb. I saw an arm, a blur, and then splat! Something hit my trunk. Splat, splat, two more times. The car roared off with a screech of tires. Bongo was the first to report the damage. "Raw eggs," she said. "I'm assuming that didn't hurt."
"Didn't feel a thing," I said.
Fresh baked bread, Hairy Spider, and Big U ventured out to inspect the situation. Big U slipped under the police tape and licked one of the yolks sliding down my trunk. "Mmm," she murmured. "Raw. Just the way I like 'em."
"Hey, Big, share the wealth," Hairy Spider snapped as she and Fresh joined her.
Agnes watched from her perch. "I much prefer squirming mouse pups," she said. "It's all yours, ladies."
"What a nice surprise," Big U said between slurps.
"This is not nice," Bongo said. "This is people at their worst."
"Still," said Hairy Spiders, licking her paws. It'd be a shame to let perfectly good egg go to waste. One creature's nastiness is another creature's nibble. Big U gave a satisfied burp, and the animals scampered back to their homes. The door to Stephen's house opened. He walked over to me, saw the eggshells scattered like puzzle pieces, and scowled. Sammer was next, a backpack slung over her shoulders and books clutched to her chest. She leapt over the muddy puddle and joined Stephen. "Jerks," she muttered, gesturing towards the egg's remains. "Sorry, Sammer." But Sammer held up her hand. "Stephen," she said in a low voice, "last night." Stephen nodded ever so slightly, his eyes locked on me. "Last night," he repeated, as if they were speaking in code. "The tree. The tree." "You heard what I heard?" Sammer asked. "I did." Sammer looked right at Stephen. "You heard the tree?"
"I heard the tree."
Sammer gave a little nod. "So it was maybe a trick? Somebody playing a joke on us? Or maybe we both sleepwalking at the same moment," Stephen suggested. He nodded, as if trying to convince himself. "Yeah, sleepwalking." "Have you ever sleepwalked before?" "No, but there's a first time for everything." They stood there, looking at me expectantly, willing me to speak. At least that's how I felt. I stayed silent. I'd said my piece, and I regretted it. "Stephen," Sammer said softly, "whatever happens, we can't tell a soul about this. Deal?" "Deal. Ever. Ever." Sammer sighed. "People would say we're crazy." "And they'd probably be right," said Stephen. Sammer jutted her chin at me. "Tree, do you have anything to add?" I didn't say a word. Sammer and Stephen shared a smile. "Figured it was worth a shot," she said. They headed off to school together. Stephen's father came out onto the porch. He was holding a cup of coffee. He caught sight of Stephen and Sammer and frowned. A moment later, Sammer's mother stepped out of the blue house, her keys jangling, a briefcase over her shoulder. She followed her neighbor's gaze. Both parents watched in silence until Stephen and Sammer walked side by side, disappearing from the view.